right. Well, I'm so glad that you are here. Thank you, Nancy and Howard, for sharing a powerful story about how God works in our life. So I'm glad you're here today as well. We completed our series over the summer that this is my story and I'm going to tell it, and hearing testimonies. And the reality is all of us have a story. All of us have a testimony, because God is searching after us. He's seeking for us. He wants us to become like Him, and He wants us to learn His plan, His path for our life. So today I want to talk about simple question, a story that if you grew up in Sunday school, you would have heard before, about the life of Moses. And go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 3 this morning. And one verse I want to read as we begin. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. And Moses said unto God, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" I was talking to a pastor and his wife at a seminar simulcast that a good group of us went to yesterday on racial reconciliation. And I was talking about junior high years, and I said, boy, that was a time I really wouldn't want to go back to. I've enjoyed most of my life that junior high time period. I was really trying to figure out, who am I? You know, what is life about? How do I relate to this world? And that question, who am I, really impacts the decisions that we make in life. So I want to talk this morning about who am I. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, thank you for our nursery or preschool classes, that they can learn about you. Our children's church, as they hear stories and learn about your love and your plan. Our teen service today, I pray you do a work there. Lord, use Choice Baptist Church to make a difference, to make an impact in the lives of this community. And Lord, use this time today. Help us to better understand who we are in you. In Jesus' name, amen. God founded the world, and then He brought a special nation called the nation of Israel into the world through Abraham, and then his son Isaac and Jacob, and then ultimately a guy named Joseph preserved the nation of Israel during a time of famine by going to Egypt. And as they ended up in Egypt, they stayed in Egypt, and really they stayed too long. They did really well in Egypt, and as they grew as a nation, the king there, Pharaoh, looked and said, man, we've got to do something here. They're going to be larger than us before too long if we don't watch it. And then ultimately, he made the nation of Israel slaves. Hundreds of years went by. They're in slavery. They had lost the promised land that God had told Abraham that he was going to give to them. But the one that was going to deliver them was living in the king's palace. I mean, it really is an interesting story. What had happened? Pharaoh not only put them into slavery, but the children continued to grow, and the Jewish population was increasing. So Pharaoh said, we need to kill all the Jewish boys. The moms didn't like that very well, of course, and so they tried to preserve their children. And there was a young child named Moses that his mom said, maybe if we take this child and put him in this little ark, when Pharaoh's daughter comes along, she'll see him and she'll fall in love with him and she'll rescue him. He'll be delivered. And that's exactly what happened. Pharaoh's daughter came into the water, and she heard a noise, and she asked one of her servants, go check out that noise. And they brought the little ark over, and there was a little baby, and she fell in love with that baby. And Moses' sister had been watching over to make sure everything was fine there. And so she went up to Pharaoh's daughter and said, hey, I know somebody that can nurse this baby until he's old enough for you to be able to take him. I don't know how long that happened, but she said, hey, that's a great idea. So Moses' mom got to raise Moses for whatever length of time that he was nursing. And Pharaoh's mom said, her daughter said, I'll even pay this lady. So that was a pretty good deal as well, right? You get to raise your child, have extra cash on the hand, and your child doesn't die. But there came that point that Moses' mom had to take Moses to Pharaoh's daughter and to be brought up. And in the book of Acts, there's several passages in the Bible that tell of this story. And Acts 7:22 says this, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deed. This little Jewish boy had the training of the greatest nation on earth, really, at this point. The Egyptians had incredible education, and he was trained under that educational style. And God was preparing this young man, Moses. Just as God prepares us, we heard a story from Nancy a few minutes ago, and God working in our childhood through the positives and negatives, working in our teen years, working as we're adults throughout our life, and God is guiding us. And he brings us even to this point where we are today. See, God is at work in every one of our lives. So Moses had a very confusing childhood. And he asked this question, who am I? Who am I? It's a good question for all of us to consider. As we continue in the Acts chapter 7, verse 23, it says, and when he was a full 40 years old, and it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. So somehow he knew that he was Jewish, even though at first 40 years he was brought up in the palace, raised as royalty. But he wanted to know about his heritage. He wanted to know about his family. And as we're going to see, he actually cared very deeply for these individuals. Verse 24 says, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and he smote the Egyptian. If you read the passage in Exodus, it said he looked this way and he looked that way to make sure there was no Egyptians around. And he was so angry that his family was being mistreated, he killed this Egyptian and he buried him. Thinking everything was okay, he went back home, and the next day he decided to go out again. Acts 7:25 says this, and he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. So it's interesting, Moses wanted to help his family, and he wanted to be their deliverer. He wanted to rescue them from what they were going through. But the reality was Moses wasn't ready to do the work that God wanted him to do. And the people weren't ready either. The circumstances weren't coming together yet. He was trying to do some of these things in his own time, in his own way. Have you ever been there where you're trying to determine God's will and figure it out for your own, and you're pushing ahead, and God is saying, no, you need to be better developed. It's not time yet. It's not time for you. So he killed this individual. And in Exodus 2:15, the Bible says, now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. You know, so this was his grandchild to a certain extent, but he really wasn't his family. And now this guy that he brought in his home showed no respect for him, and he kills his own family, Pharaoh's family. So Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, and he dwelt in the land of Midian. For the first 40 years of his life, he's trained by the Egyptians. He learns the way of the world. He's this powerful individual. Now he has to run away, and he goes to this place called Midian, and he becomes a shepherd. That's kind of a lifestyle change, isn't it? God takes him on the backside of the desert here. He moves from royalty to have whatever he wants. Now he's just simply a shepherd. A shepherd didn't have a whole lot of honor in those days. He goes from a Jewish slave, from a royal Egyptian, into a simple farmer now. And God slows him down. He puts him in a desert because in the future he's going to lead the children of Israel in a desert for 40 years. I can imagine as he's a farmer, he looks out at night and he sees his creation, and he learned about all the gods of the Egyptians, the religions of the day, and he begins to look around and say, who is the true God? Who is the real God? And God just slows him down a little bit. He sees all of the things of the world. He has to unlearn the next 40 years what he had learned the first 40 years. He has to do some relearning. As he's leading these sheep, he's learning how to lead because God is raising him up to be a leader. And it's at this point then God says, you know what, Moses? Now you are ready. And God does something really interesting. God sets this bush on fire. And I'm told it may not have been that uncommon to see a bush on fire because of the desert that would have been around, the heat that would have been around, not a whole lot of water, so just like we'd look at California and massive fires. But there was something different about this bush. As he looked at this bush, it was burning, but it wasn't deteriorating. It stayed the same. He's like, wow, this is interesting. And so he stops to look at this. And in Exodus 3, verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. So God, through this special vision, through this incredible revelation, God says, I have something for you, Moses. I want you to see something different is going on here. And Moses says, I will now turn aside. I am going to pay attention. Now I'm going to see what God has for me. And in the next verse, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. Now that's a great statement in the Bible. There's an old statement that I learned, the greatest ability is your availability. Just simply being available. Isaiah saw something incredible about God, and he said, Lord, here am I. The Apostle Paul had a vision of God, and he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And one of my favorite passages in the book of Romans, after he spends 11 chapters telling us how awesome God really is, he tells us that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We're to offer ourselves to God. We're simply to say, here am I. God, I'm available. What is it that you have for me? You see, God calls some people to be missionaries, some people to be pastors, some people to do all kinds of different things, but he can't do that until we make ourselves available. God just simply wants us available. He wants people to be available to work in Awana or to work with children or to sing in the choir or to serve in the church in many different ways. He wants us to be available to just share our faith to the community that's around us. But it's not going to happen until we say, God, here am I. In a minute, he's going to say, who am I? But before that, he says, here am I, God. God is speaking to him out of this bush. But before God speaks, he had to turn aside, and then he had to say, here am I. God, what do you have for me? It's a great thing at the end of our service, we take just a couple minutes to respond to God and just say, God, what do you have for me today? What did I learn in the message? What was it that you spoke to me through the music, the testimony today? God, here am I. I'm available. What do you want from me? Now, I want to remind you that Moses still had many insecurities. He had a whole lot of growing to do. He had to learn to trust God better, but he is now available. And God says something to him in Exodus 3, verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Don't come to me yet, but put off your shoes from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. You know, the reality is, before we can truly serve God, we've got to know that he is holy. God is a holy God. God is different from anything in this world. Often we compare ourselves, you know, we put God in our image and we say, well, if I were God, this is the way I would do it. I understand why God does things that way. What's wrong with this? You know, why can't I live this way? If your kids ever said, why can't I go here? Why am I not allowed to do it? My friends are able to do that or whatever. And we do that to God. Well, what's wrong with this? Why can't I do this thing? And it's simply because God is holy. And he says, you've got some removing to do. Take off your shoes. One of the things God wants from us is there's some things we just need to take out of our life. What is it that we make a priority over God? What is it that God says, thou shalt not, but we just continue doing? What is it that God says we should be doing, but we're not doing? Take off your shoes, Moses. Because when you come to me in my presence, this is holy ground. What is it that you personally need to remove out of your life? And then Moses is obedient. And in Exodus 3:10, look at what verse 10 says. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mightest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now he's ready. He's ready to be able to be the deliverer. He wasn't 40 years ago. 40 years ago, he was very energetic. He was desirous. He was passionate about it, but he wasn't ready to do the work that God wanted. God had to mature him. He had to sit down and learn some things in Bible studies. He had to spend some time in prayer. He needed to be faithful in his meditation, his private walk with God, and in his character. And God was changing him and growing him and helping him to become everything he needed to be. And now he turns aside. He makes himself available. He takes off his shoes, and God said, now I'm going to send you. Now you're ready, Moses. Remember 40 years ago, you were trying to deliver my people, but you just weren't ready yet. They weren't ready. Circumstances weren't right. Things weren't going to come together. But now I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. You are going to be the deliverer. But before he could do it, there were two simple questions that Moses had to ask. If he was going to take the next 40 years and to be effective, he had to have the answer to these two questions. And the first is the title of the message today. We've already read the verse. Look at verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I? I mean, he failed earlier. Who am I? I mean, how can I do this? The reality is, until we realize who we are, we can never be effective in the work that God has for us. Maybe you've learned about Maslow's hierarchy and psychology, you know, just trying to understand who we are and certain things about ourselves, or, you know, we, as a young person, trying to figure out who we are, and can it become a wrong kind of pursuit? Certainly, but the reality is we do have to understand who God made us to be. So we can live out who we are. I was reading about a pastor that does a lot of writing today, and he said, the first several years of my ministry, I wasn't honest with who I was. I'd read a sermon by, you know, some popular pastor, and I would preach like them, and I would act like them, and I would talk like them, but I didn't get my voice for the first several years because I was trying to be somebody else, and it wasn't until I had my own voice that I was living out who God made me to be that I could be effective. That's what we're saying. Who am I? Moses, who am I? And it was confusing because the first year of his life, he was in this Jewish slave owner or slave home. Very simple life. And could you imagine, just think for a second, these parents, now maybe they even nursed a little bit longer in those days, I'm not certain, but probably about a year or maybe a little longer, that Moses' parents said, very soon I'm going to have to give up my child if they're going to live. And they're going to be trained in the ways of the Egyptians. Could you imagine what those parents were trying to pour into the life of their child in that first year? The heritage that they wanted to put in them. And then this little baby is taken away from the parents that they knew and goes to be born in royalty. and then the next 40 years becomes a shepherd. You could understand, that's kind of a confusing life, isn't it? I mean, there's some real big ups and downs there. No wonder they would be asking the question, who am I? I think it's a great exercise. And I was thinking about it this week. I'm 52, almost 53. And I was just trying to think about, who am I? Who am I? Thinking about, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What is my past? What is my future? What is my relationship with others? How do I deal with circumstances? Who am I? What is God's plan for my life? As we begin to learn that process, if we're not careful, we go to one of two different extremes. Maybe we think we're perfect. You know, we think, oh man, who am I? I can tell you, let me just list a whole bunch of things down here on how great I really am. And that's why it's good to have people in our life that speak to us and say, hey, you're not all that. You got some issues still to work on. You got some areas to grow. We're to refine each other. We're to kind of build up and sharpen each other's in life, right? And I think, you know, some of us could have some of those abilities today. Probably most of us, though, would fall on the other side and would be more like Moses. That if we're not careful, we can just beat ourselves up. We can focus on our weaknesses. We can talk about what we're not good at. Often I'll do this in some of the classes I do called Discovering Choice. By the way, I'm going to start that class this coming Sunday. And one of the questions I like to ask is about spiritual gifts and abilities that people have. And I say, tell me about a strength you have. And when I ask that, I say, I'm just going to let you think for a minute. And then I do this. I ask the second question, how many of you, when I asked what your strengths were, first came up with your weaknesses? And a lot of people, yeah, that's what I did. It's easier to talk about what I'm not good at than what I'm good at. That's our self-perception. Who am I? And that's exactly what Moses did as we read further into chapter 4, Exodus 4:10. Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant. God, I'm not a good speaker. I'm not eloquent. The reality is, I'm a bad speaker. He says, I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. I can't get up here and speak, right? I mean, we heard that a lot this summer. Oh, I'm not a good speaker. And then they blow it out of the water as great speakers, right? And just minister to our hearts and God's working through them. That's what Moses does here. God, I'm not a good speaker. Remember what we saw when we began in Exodus, in the book of Acts chapter 7, he was trained in the ways of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in word. You know what God said? Moses, you are a tremendous speaker. Do you know what Moses said? I'm a terrible speaker. I can't do it. I'm going to send you to go and talk to Pharaoh. And he says, but I'm not a good speaker. I'm actually a bad speaker. I have a slow tongue. I can't do it. And in Exodus 4:11, the Lord said to him, who made your mouth? That's a great question, isn't it? Who created you? Who designed you? All of us being made in the image of God, God uniquely made us the way he made us. Who made your mouth? Who makes the dumb, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Who gave you your strengths? And by the way, who gave you the weaknesses that you have? God said, I did. I designed you that way. It's easy for me to say, man, I wish I had the talents of this person. I wish I had the mind of this person. I wish I had the personality of this person. I wish I had this or that. And God said, but I made you. I uniquely made you exactly as you are. I gave you the height that you have, the build that you have, the IQ that you have, the circumstances in life, the family that you have, those things that we push away at times that we don't like about ourselves. And God says, that's how I made you. All of the events of your life to where you are right now, that's who you are because of my design in your life. And not only that, in Exodus 4:12, he goes on to say, and I will be with your mouth. And I'll teach you what to say. Not only did I make you, but I am going to help you. If I called you, I'm going to prepare you, and I'm going to help you. You will be able to accomplish whatever it is that I have called you to do. Yes, it might seem scary. It might be a path that you didn't really want to take, but I am at work here. Remember in Exodus 3:10, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said, "Who am I?" And then look at verse 12. And he said, "Certainly, I will be with you." See what God said there? It really doesn't matter as much who you are. It matters more who I am, because I'm going to be with you. I am going to help you through whatever those circumstances are, whatever those transitions are, whatever it is God is doing in your life. I'm going to help you through those problems. You just got to trust in me. Look to me and look to my word. Who am I? Here's a great idea. Moses, look at your passion. What was his passion? He wanted to deliver the nation of Israel, right? Just think in your mind. Draw a great big circle over here with your passion. And then on this side, Moses had a lot of training through his experiences. And so draw another experience or circle over here with your abilities. All of us have some things that we're passionate about. And God puts passions within us. Not that every idea we have is right, not that everything we want to do is right, but God is working through those things when we surrender to Him. And God gives us abilities on this side. And then there's a sweet spot that's right in the middle. When we take our passion over here and we take our abilities over here, where they intersect in that sweet spot is probably God's will for your life. What is it that you really want to do? There's a contemporary song a number of years ago, and it says this: "This is my life, I will do what I want." And so it's kind of weird, and I was listening to the song. My kid said, "How's that a Christian song? I'm just going to do what I want." And I said, when you're surrendered to God's will, you can do what you want, because what you want is what He wants. Can we resist God's will? Certainly. But when we surrender to God's will, our passion is the will of God. What am I passionate about? What am I good at? How do those things work together? And God wants to use those abilities that you can serve Him. Moses said, "Who am I?" Moses, I want to take your natural abilities, your learned abilities, the spiritual abilities, so you can accomplish what I've called you to do. I'm going to send you to deliver the nation of Israel. And then he asked the second question in verse 13. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, Well, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Here's the second question. Not only who am I, but who is he? Who is God? You see, if I'm going to accomplish what God wants, it's not going to be in my own strength. It's not going to be what I can do. But it's what God can do through me. I remember I graduated high school and wasn't planning on going to college because I was going to be a construction worker and work in my dad's business. And thought, all right, I'm not planning on going to college. The reality is I got out of school early in my junior and senior year and went to work so I could make money. I thought, well, I'm going to be a construction worker. I don't need to how to, conjugate verbs or whatever. You know, I was all involved in all the speaking and stuff. And then God begins to work in my heart to be a pastor. And I'm a private individual. I don't easily just go out and talk. I'm a pretty short in my statements. And God is saying, I want you to be a public speaker. And I'm thinking, what in the world? There's only one way that that's possible. It's not because of me. It's because of who He is. And God began working in my life. And I said, okay, God, I'm available. What is it that you want? And God began training me and preparing me and guiding me. And I'm sitting there during the song service, and I'm even thinking, God, man, I just need you to speak through me because I can't do this on my own. I need your strength. I need your ability. I need you, God. Who are you? Moses said, if I go to the nation of Israel and I say, God has called me to deliver you. Well, what God? The Egyptian gods that you grew up under? Maybe some gods in Midian that you learned about? What God? What is the name of the God? Moses said, if they ask that question, what will I say? In verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And when you read in the Bible the word Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It's this name for God, Yahweh or Jehovah. Some pronounce it differently. But when you see that word Lord, and as you read through this, I hope you'll read through the first several chapters of Exodus this week, and you see that word Lord in all caps, it's referring to Jehovah, and his name means I am that I am. I am. It's not that he was or he will be. He is an ever-present God. He is the self-existent God. God doesn't need anything or anyone. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our time. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our abilities. He doesn't need our prayers. I don't quite understand God. As a teen, I was trying to figure God out, and I was about a young teen. I remember laying on my bed. How did God, what did he do before he created the world? How did all this stuff fit together? And I thought, I pictured this as a terrible picture, but God was just kind of floating through space, sleeping. But there was no space, so that was bad. You know, this blackness that I pictured, but there was no blackness. There was nothing. I don't understand that. And God was just kind of floating around. He woke up one day and he said, in the beginning, God, and he just created. That's my childish way of thinking about God. But the reality is, he didn't need space, he didn't need air, he didn't need food, he didn't need people. The Godhead was in existence, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and they lived in perfect harmony. But God is love, and he just chose to create a being that he could love. God didn't need anything. Wednesday night, our first night of Awana's last Wednesday, one of the young girls came up to me and she said, Pastor, I have a question for you. I was like, okay, great. And his mom said, she asked me this question on the way over. And I said, just ask the pastor. And it was very sweet. And she said, Pastor? I said, yeah. She said, I know God created everything, but who created God? That's how she said it. Who created God? It's like, that is a wonderful question. And it doesn't really make sense to us, but nobody created God. He's the self-existent one. He is the I am that I am. He needs nothing at all. He's God. That's the one that we serve today. We don't serve him because he needs us and he can't figure out how to do it without us. He just allows us to enter into his plan, to enter into his family, to have purpose and meaning and significance in this life. Who is God? Well, he's the God of the Hebrews. He's the Lord. Chapter 6 says he is Jehovah, the great I am. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, all coming together, and we learn through his word about who he is. And he is the self-existent God. And it's this God that looks at Moses and he says, now that you've turned aside, now that you're paying attention, now that you're trained, now that you made yourself available and you've taken off your shoes because this is holy ground, I'm calling you and you understand who you are and you understand who I am, and you are going to take the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. And now you are the deliverer. Pastor Jeff is out of town today, but he has a statement, and he tells people to ask just three simple questions. And I tell him I always forget the third one, I always remember the first two. And it's simply this. He says, if you want to figure out what God wants you to do in life, the first question is this: who are you? And secondly, whose are you? Who do you belong to? That's the same question Moses was asking. Who am I? And God, who are you? And if we are going to accomplish what God would have us to accomplish, we've got to figure this thing out. Who am I? What's my sweet spot in life? Where does my passion and my abilities come together so I can accomplish what God wants? That's what we are to be doing with our kids and our grandchildren, helping them to figure out that sweet spot. All being encompassed as we understand who is God. How is He working in our life? Let's bow our heads for just a moment. As we think about how awesome God is, we sang about Him this morning. We're going to sing another song. And just as Moses was being prepared, some things he needed to remove out of his life, some things he needed to be trained in, he had to learn not to run ahead of God, but just to follow His path and to follow His plan. What is it that God was wanting to do? As you bow your head this morning, just make yourself available to Him. Here am I. God, speak to me. Allow me to hear Your voice. Father, help us to understand who we are in You. May we all understand that our sins are forgiven through the cross, as we sang about earlier. Not through our works, not through baptism, not through church, our abilities, but through the death, burial, and resurrection of Your Son. Lord, as we sang, it is well. God, whatever the struggles are in people's lives this morning, help them to cast their cares on You, because You are the I am that I am. We acknowledge You as God the Creator, God that sustains us. God, You are who You are. Holy, righteous, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. We look to You today. Speak to our hearts. Speak during this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.